Reactor online. Sensors online. Weapons online. All systems nominal.
Hello everyone, this is Carrie here with the Unicorn Company Podcast, and today we will be looking at another mech for Mechtober. This time we'll be looking at something that evokes a strong response from me. We'll be looking at the Black Hawk Standard Battle Mech. I'm making sure to include that distinction here because the Black Hawk Battle Mech is a far different machine than the Clan Omni Mech or even the Inner Sphere copy that carries the moniker. The Black Hawk Battle Mech, or Standard, from which I will now just be referring to as the Black Hawk, and its counterparts as the Nova and the Black Hawk II, is a mech born from necessity. Though I also think some idea of tradition was included in the design. And of course, from a real-world perspective, it was something of an unnecessary redesign of a classic machine that is loved by many. And I think does paint my opinion of this mech with some bias. Now, when you look at the redesign of this classic machine that was done by WizKids, the Black Hawk is, well, weird. And not in the good way. It looks like something that is a result of a Frankenmech using parts of the Nova and the Jenner 2C, with massive exhaust pipes, I'm guessing for like a GM Duramax engine or something, that were added to the machine. I can't say that I enjoy how it looks, and personally, I enjoy how it works even less so, as the design is so incredibly inferior to its Omni-Mech counterpart, but in universe at least, I think that inadequacy is what makes it what it is, and also makes it as readily available to non-clan operators when compared to the Nova. Now that I have my little rant out of the way concerning the real-world flub that many of the redesigns of classic mechs for the Dark Age game had, and where this machine fits into all of that, let's look at it from an in-universe perspective. What we know as the Black Hawk was designed by Clan Hell's Horses for use in second-line units, as it, theoretically, would require less resources than its Omni-Mech cousin. The mech that ended up eventually walking off the production lines, though, would turn out to be a complicated and expensive mech for second-line duties. And ironically, as it was designed by one of the two clans to hold so strongly to the Mongrel Doctrine, it would find itself not only defending Hell's Horse's holdings in second-line units, but thanks to Clan Diamond Shark, would be spread across the Inner Sphere to just about anyone who wanted one. What I think also hurts this design in general is how ubiquitous the Nova and the Black Hawk II have become in the Ill Clan era, with one or both of those machines being available to many Inner Sphere factions, and oddly, with mercenaries being able to field all three of them, which I imagine for a Crusader, or should I say a Mongrel clan, must be incredibly insulting to see on the battlefield. As with the Nova, was its first Omni-Mech, and in fact is one of the earliest examples of that technology, which brings us to why the Nova, or Black Hawk. If we look at the Nova briefly, before we get into the Black Hawk, it was one of the earliest Omni-Mech designs, being the first that Clan Hell's Horses was able to design. The machine was a compact and highly effective medium mech, and was built primarily around the idea of being able to quickly subdue an enemy, especially if used in single combat. The fact that the Nova is such an early example of Omni-Mech technology would mean that it would still share a great deal in common with more standard battle mechs from the late 2800s when it was designed. And because of this, would be more easily re-engineered into a standard battle mech. As for the decision to re-engineer the Nova, I feel that this has, instead of just building Novas, I feel this has more to do with the facilities which were available to the horses at the time. The production site of the Black Hawk is New Oslo. This location has no experience with Omni-Mech production, or I should say very little. And while the horses did use did use the industries here to produce the Balius Omnimech in limited numbers, essentially hand-building them. Given the capabilities and experience on site, I think a non-Omnimech was simply decided on as it was easier to build and also would allow for faster deployment to the field in what were definitely unstable conditions for the horses at the end of the Dark Age, leading into the Ilclane era. We should actually take a look at the Black Hawk, though, instead of speculating on the origins of the design as well as reasons behind building it instead of the much more capable Nova. The standard version of the Black Hawk is a 50-ton machine. It's a lot like the Nova in that its ground speed is up to 86 kilometers an hour. That is possible due to the use of an extra light engine. The Black Hawk also has a jump distance of 150 meters and is cooled by 14 double heat sinks, as well as being protected with standard armor. But that is generally where the similarities in the design end. Starting with the armor, the Blackhawk sacrifices 1.5 tons of it for an additional weapon space. It also attempts to add even more space for weapons and equipment by using an endosteel chassis, where the Nova uses a standard one. There is an interesting bit of just awe-inspiring economic idiocy here, as the Blackhawk is actually using more expensive and more difficult construction techniques. But I'm going to try to avoid getting caught up in that and tell myself that everything I ignore on that front helps save a few more catgirls. Those of you from the old forums will know what I'm saying there. The dropping of 1.5 tons of armor as well as the use of endosteel should bring the available space for weapons and equipment from the 16 tons of the Nova to a cavernous 20 tons, allowing the Black Hawk to dedicate up to almost half its weight to weapons and equipment. This would be where many of us would expect to see a massive improvement in the design over the Omnimech, as it has enough room to improve the abilities of the Nova, possibly with the addition of a targeting computer or something similar in its weapons and equipment. Instead, we get something of an awkward downgrade. The Black Hawk is indeed built around energy weapons. In this case, though, it is a pair of extended-range large lasers for long-range capability, one of which are in each side torso. It stops being about energy weapons there, though, because in each arm, the Black Hawk mounts a pair of Streak SRM 4 launchers. These 4 launchers are fed by 2 tons of ammunition, giving the Black Hawk effectively 250 seconds of continuous fire with the weapons. The Black Hawk does have a later missile-based variant, the Black Hawk 2, and this is pretty much an evolutionary refit of the Black Hawk, as it swaps out the 4 SRM launchers with an advanced tactical missile launcher, 6 in each arm. While this would initially appear to be a downgrade of the Black Hawk's offensive capabilities, it is realistically an upgrade that makes the design far more flexible than the standard version, as it is capable of using all 3 versions of the warheads available to the advanced tactical missile launchers, giving it a great deal of battlefield flexibility. This to me shows some understanding on the part of the clans the need to adapt to more flexible military tactics and strategy when confronting Inner Sphere combatants, as they learned quite well in the initial invasion as well as on Tukiid that the Inner Sphere doesn't play by the same rules as they do. The third and last version of the Black Hawk is so creatively known as the Black Hawk 3. And is a step backwards, at least in part, towards the Nova. This is an all-energy version of the machine and retains the 2 ER large lasers located in the side torsos. The Black Hawk's cooling, though, has been improved, with it now carrying an impressive 22 double heat sinks, and the arm weapons have been replaced with a pair of ER medium lasers in each arm, giving it similar combat profile to the Nova, but with an added long-range punch. A sort of hybrid between the Nova and the Black Hawk. Now, personally, I have a feeling that instead of replacing fallen Novas, the horses were putting pilots into these second-line platforms, in the 3 variant specifically, as the pilots would be mostly familiar with the operation of the machine and need little cross-training on a new platform, requiring less downtime as their frontline units switched from being fully equipped with Omnimechs to a mix of Omnis and standard battle mechs. So, Before we get into the Alpha Strike part, I want to talk a little bit about this sort of off the cuff. Part of this, okay, so part of the whole thing with the Blackhawk is that it was made because WizKids wanted a new look, and in fact, there's actually a record sheet book out there that covers the Dark Age units, because FanPro at the time was trying to incorporate them into Battletech in some way to try to bring people over from Clicks to Battletech. There were even miniature rules designed about mixing the two, which it's kind of hard to mix two different scales, but they tried. But as far as the Blackhawk, as far as this redesign, I do want to say that with the retconning and everything that was necessary to make it fit into the universe, they did a really good job of showing it as an evolutionary step on the part of the clans of, hey, we need to adapt to what we're dealing with now with more limited resources, which is sort of ironic given how limited the resources were in the Pentagon. Anyway, got to think about the Catgirls. But the resources available to the clans, the technology base that they had to work with in building battle mechs and omni mechs in the Inner Sphere, which I think would be the biggest stumbling block, is not so much you can't find enough material, in so much as you don't have places and a workforce and everything that knows how to build omni mechs, that knows how to build clan tech weapons or any of that. So you're kind of going to go with the whole keep it simple, stupid idea of, you don't want to build the most high-end thing when you can make good enough, you know? So effectively, I think, you know, they did a good job of incorporating it. Part of the problem that you have, though, with the Blackhawk is how ubiquitous in the Nova is and how ubiquitous the Blackhawk coup has become, where they are just available everywhere. And I think I've mentioned this in the script later on, but it's true. You have so much availability of these other designs that this is a flash in the pan. I mean, this thing, we will see it for a little while and then it will just sort of fizzle off. And I think we'll see that with many of the Dark Age designs. But let's go and let's actually look at this thing in Alpha Strike, because Alpha Strike treats mechs a little bit differently, and this actually has a role in Alpha Strike. So the standard, it's tight battle mech, size 2, TMM of 2, movement of 10 with jump. It's a skirmisher, and it comes in at 38 points. Has a short and medium of 4 and a long of 2 with an overheat of 2. Has armor of 5, structure of 3, and special of case. So I'm not going to go into a lot of stuff until we get to the end of these. Next, we have the Blackhawk 2. It's very similar. Tiny bit more damage capability, but it does trade this for overheat. It's battle mech, size 2, TMM 2, movement with 10 jump. It's also 38 points. And once again, it is a skirmisher. At short range, it does 5, medium 4, and long of 3. So it has a little bit more of a punch at long range, and at short, due to the advanced tactical missile systems. The mech does, however, like I said, lacks overheat, and it's identical to the Blackhawk in armor, structure, and specials. So armor 5, structure 3, and case. And then we have the Blackhawk 3. Comes in at 40 points. It's arguably far more consistent than the other two designs. Battle mech, size 2, TMM 2, movement of 10, jumps. It is a skirmisher again. The firepower on it, though, is 5 at short and medium range with 2 at long. Does not have an overheat. Has the same 5 armor, 3 structure. And it, instead of having case, has ENE as it's completely energy-based. So it's a little bit harder to take down than the other two. You're not going to lose it to a first crit ammo explosion. Well, then you have case, but then you get another crit. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit more survivable, but not that much more. And all three of these are relatively decent troopers. I think the three out of them, the 2-point bump is worth it. I don't know if the two is really worth the lack of the overheat, because at least with the one, you can push it up to six damage at short and medium. And then you can jump away, or if it's like, a desperate attempt to take something down before you go down, you have that ability. So I mean, that's really about it on the Blackhawk. It's not a lot to cover. And it's a decent mech in Alpha Strike. In Classic, it starts to feel less so. You start to feel lacking in capability compared to the actual Nova, or even a Black Hawk Coup. A Black Hawk Coup Prime would rip apart a Nova, the Nova Black Hawk, the Black Hawk Standard, and probably rip the two apart as well. The three might give it some trouble, but out of the three, that's going to be the one that makes it have some trouble. And of course, a standard Nova, like, well, I say standard, the OmniMech Nova will just like wipe the floor with all three of these. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the design, it's okay. Does it fill, does it put bodies on the battlefield so the Hell's Horses don't get everything pushed in? Yes. So, I mean, I guess that pretty much covers this installment of the Mechtober episodes. We do have two more coming up. I want to thank you very much for listening. I would also like to thank our sponsor, Fortress Miniatures and Games. If the episode has interested you in the Black Hawk Standard Battle Mech and you want to get one, I would recommend picking up the mini from Fortress at fortressminiaturesandgames.com. They're really good, and they usually have just about everything in stock. I would also like to thank all my patrons at Patreon. Without you, this podcast would not be possible. And if you would like to help support the podcast, you can find it at patreon.com/unicorncompany. One last thing, if you are listening to this on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe button. It helps get us out there more and helps more people hear, these episodes. And yeah. So that is it for tonight. I thank you all for listening. This is Carrie signing off. I'm gonna find my meaning, I can make a change, I wanna play the